Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board. We also look forward to your calls and comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so with a biblical worldview, a central biblicist worldview. I had someone recently to ask me, said, well, you're an Arminianist or a Calvinist? I said, neither. He said, well, what are you? I said, a central biblicist. He said, what did you say? I said, a central biblicist. He said, what does that mean? I said, it means simply looking at what the Bible says, not what Jacob's Arminius said, not what John Calvin says, not what others say, but what does the Bible say? That's having a central biblicist worldview. May I commend that to you? I get a little weary with these that say, well, Calvin said this, or Arminius said this, or this is what Dr. Come Lately said, and this is what another says. What does the Bible say? That's the first, foremost, and the final authority that we should have as a Christian. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God is truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, the Word of God is truth. In fact, that's what Jesus spoke of when he was speaking to his disciples, and he said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, that the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. I am truth. Jesus is God. And I've always said, in fact, many times down through the years, look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the one that is the God spoken of there is Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Colossians 1:13 through 18 says it. Jesus created everything that's created in the heavens, below the heavens, and on the earth and below the earth. Everything that's visible, everything that's invisible. Jesus Christ is the creator, controller, sustainer of the universe. And it's Jesus that said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when you're looking for an answer for an issue, looking to resolve a problem, looking for a resolution as to a situation that you're faced with, no better place to go to than the Word of God. The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God has the answer for each of the issues that we faced in life. God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and He did so in that order. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, anything that we discuss, anything that we preach or teach on in the realm of society, what is happening in the world, what is taking place politically, socially, economically, what is taking place theologically, doctrinally, or biblically, is found in the Word of God. It is the central biblicist worldview that says that God has already covered every issue that we're faced in life and how we ought to respond to it. But truth is no longer listened to. Truth is not sought. I've said so many times lately, if you don't believe that, see what is taking place with Nancy Pelosi and the squad in Washington, and they have no information about truth. In fact, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that says the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's speaking of the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, a quote that I have enjoyed, that I enjoy repeating, it comes from a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan said this, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for the truth, love the truth, live the truth, speak the truth, even if it means standing to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for the individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can give you instructions and answer all your questions. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where the gigantic flag, the old glory, the U.S. flag flies. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about a subject today, the value of life. The value of life. Perhaps you say, well, what are you talking about? We're talking about the value of life. Let me ask you a question to get into where we're going. What is the common denominator between Kobe Bryant's death and the coronavirus? The value of life. Why do we mourn Kobe Bryant's death? As we should, but it's because of the value of life. Why are we so concerned about the epidemic that's spreading the globe, the coronavirus? Why are we concerned about that? Because of the value of life. Why is it we're concerned about when we have one of our choppers go down in Afghanistan, or our plane goes down and our men die? It's because of the value of life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that today, the value of life. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yeah, hi, Pastor. You have a PhD in Bible prophecy. What do you think is going to happen at 12:30 this afternoon after Trump talks about his peace plan, and it's all for Israel and all against the Arabs?
Well, let me say this, and in fact, I had planned to do a broadcast this week. I don't know exactly what day. I'll probably wait until after tomorrow's announcement to seam it together with a biblical concept. But we need to recognize that the Bible talks about there's coming a day when there will be a seven-year peace covenant signed with Israel, and it will be a time when Israel will become a nation of unwalled villages, according to the Scripture, and they will be looking at the peace as a result of it. And yet we find that the Scripture is clear that when there is all the talk about peace, then cometh sudden destruction. I'm interested in seeing the fabric of what he's going to do and the approach that he's going to take. Now, you know, every president in my lifetime, they've all come to the forefront with talking about making a two-state solution that is dividing the nation of Israel into a jihadist Arab nation and the Jewish nation. That is taking God's land, and the Bible and the prophetic text calls it God's land. That is taking God's land. It's referred to as the Holy Land one time in the Scripture. It is taking God's land, the Holy Land, the land of the children of Israel, and it's wanting to divide it and assimilate it into pieces and give it to others, and that shall not take place. There will be a close attempt. There will be ultimately what seemingly is going to be the ultimate annihilation of the Jewish people. And it's then that the clock of God, the timepiece, prophetic timepiece of God, starts ticking. And Jesus Christ returns from his throne in glory and defends the nation of Israel. And according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, he will slay them with the sword of his mouth, speaking of Jesus Christ, slaying the enemies of God, the enemies of the church, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of Christ, slaying them with the sword of his mouth. So we're looking forward to, as we watch these things take place, I don't know if Trump will be the one that will ultimately be able to bring peace, as it is called in the Middle East. I think there's an attempt. He has a Jewish son-in-law that's been working on this since President Trump went in office, and I think they will try to come up with a some kind of modus operandi or some kind of operational strategy to put it into place. But every time there's been a close move for what would be called peace in the Middle East, the jihadist Arabs have rejected it out of hand because they do not want peace. They get their money, they get their clout, they get their recognition from making war and killing the Jewish people, not from having peace. They're not interested in peace as we know of it. They're interested in what they can get from America and other nations to basically buy them into signing a dotted line someplace. Now, I'm saying all of that based on the scripture, not knowing what the president's going to do in his attempt to bring about that peace treaty. But it's interesting, it's fascinating, it's intriguing, because it points to the ultimate attempt to do so. And according to Daniel chapter 9, there will be a peace treaty on one occasion at some point in time. It will be broken at about the halfway point, and then an all-out attempt to annihilate, to eviscerate, to destroy the Jewish people. So it's a very appropriate question and very well timed based on what we see tomorrow. But let's wait and see what happens, and then we'll analyze it based on the authority of the Word of God.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject, the value of life. What is the value of life? The events of the recent few days, we've seen one very, very clear conclusion. We all see life is valuable. Life is precious. The nation is still mourning, ladies and gentlemen, over the sudden tragic death of Kobe Bryant. Kobe and his 13-year-old daughter, along with seven others, including the pilot, were suddenly killed as the helicopter crashed into a hillside in Northern California. None of these nine people were expecting to die, yet their lives were suddenly ended. Now, that's not necessarily unusual, because across America and around the globe, people die every moment of every day. The Bible is very clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. That's an absolute fact of Scripture. But we have all watched and listened to, ladies and gentlemen, the horrors of the gunman. Let me just tie some threads together. Not only do we see now the mourning across the nation and perhaps around the globe of the death of the basketball superstar Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others, but ladies and gentlemen, we've all watched and listened to the horrors of the gunman opens fire in the schools and the churches and the shopping centers and other venues across the nation and around the globe. As they take lives, dozens and dozens of men, women, boys, and girls are devastated. And their families are devastated, destroying homes and destroying churches as it takes place. In fact, the most recent event was in a church in Texas where an angry gunman, in fact, we've discovered in the follow-up on that case, that he was angry because he'd gone there several dozen times asking for money. They refused to do so. They just simply give him food. And he came in all disguised that morning, but the security team recognized that he was not, that he was being disguised. They recognized there was a problem potential. And so we've discovered after the event that the security team were watching him. They were alert. They were ready. They were prepared, and when he stood and pulled out a shotgun and killed two people, he was neutralized immediately within 6 seconds by an armed security team in that church that were ready. But, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make with that illustration tied in with Kobe Bryant, tied in with the coronavirus that's spreading like wildfire around the globe, what's the common denominator in these things? It is the fact that there is death. When there's death, there is absolute sadness because of the value of life. Life is valuable, whether it's the life of the child in the womb or the life of the elderly in the hospital or emergency room or the life of the sports person or the life of a politician or whatever life at whatever stage and whatever age, ladies and gentlemen, it has value because we're created in the image of God. Then we hear the socialist Marxist Democrats scream and cry about the loss of life, supposedly of some of those in Ukraine. Have you listened to the argument? Have you listened to the debate about the so-called withholding of funds, $400 million or thereabouts, by President Trump? It was delayed. It wasn't withheld. It was delayed for 29 days, I think it was. And it wasn't even for the calendar year that it was scheduled to go out. It was for the coming calendar year. But the managers of the impeachment team are talking about the fact that people lost their lives because the Ukrainians did not get the money to defend themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an absolute lie. But the socialist Marxist Democrats are bemoaning the fact that their lives that were lost in Ukraine as a result of the supposed illegal act that President Trump took. And that's absolutely a farce. It's the farthest thing from the truth. But the point that I make in tying the picture together in the monologue that I want us to understand today is that life is valuable. But yet these socialist Marxist Democrats are claiming that Trump is the cause of death to those in Ukraine fighting Russia and the Russians. But ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump is the only president that gave them the Javelin missiles, missiles that will penetrate the walls of the Soviet Russian tanks coming in to destroy the Ukrainians. It was Obama that gave them warm soup and sandwiches and blankets at the time, at the apex, the very point of time that they had the greatest need to protect and defend life. But ladies and gentlemen, the whole point is that life is valuable. Whether it's Kobe Bryant's life, or whether it's those that are losing their lives as a result of the coronavirus, or whether it is as a result of military invasions or military operations, or whether it's as a result of those going in with the mass shootings. The point being, all encompassed, when you look at all of them, we're looking at it on the basis that life is valuable, and life is being suddenly seized, snatched out of this whole world. But ladies and gentlemen, the same socialist Marxist Democrats are for murder by way of abortion. Hear me, listen carefully. I'm trying to get us to understand the socialist Marxist Democrats that are so supposedly concerned, and because the sense of urgency to protect the Ukrainians, by the way, this is just me. You can counter it if you like. You can object to it if you want. I see no need for the $400 million of taxpayer dollars, many dollars coming out of the pockets of moms and dads that are struggling to make a living and put bread on the table, paying their taxes as Americans do, for it to be shelled out to other nations. I'm with Rand Paul on that. What is the point in trying to pay other nations? In fact, I think it was Rand Paul that used the term that why should we try to bribe other nations by paying them to like us when they will hate us whether we pay them or not? I find it fascinating with that statement, and that is exactly right. But the point being made for this broadcast today is that life is valuable, and yet we have the socialist Marxist Democrats that believe that life can be snuffed out in the womb, murder by way of abortion. It is legalized in America by Roe versus Wade, 1973. But ladies and gentlemen, since Roe versus Wade, 1973, we've had 61 million children murdered in the mother's womb. 61 million. Then we have the governor in Virginia, Governor Northam, says if a baby survives abortion attempts, just keep that child comfortable until it dies. That's the major mindset. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called infanticide. Infanticide. In fact, the governor in New York prides himself in passing laws, them having laws passed that will allow that. The mayor of New York City prides himself as being a very liberal governor that allows murder by way of abortion. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says infanticide makes a comeback. It's not the Democrats support infanticide, colon. They just aren't against it. What other conclusion can you reach when 44 out of 47 Senate Democrats blocked the Senate from voting on a bill requiring any baby who survives an abortion? In other words, a baby who was born must be brought to a hospital for care and treated with the same degree of professional skill and care and diligence to preserve the life and health of the child as a reasonably diligent and conscientious health care practitioner would render to any other child born alive at the same gestation age. The bill also would have outlawed infanticide. Whoever intentionally, this bill would have been, this article says, according to the bill, whoever intentionally performs or attempts to perform an overt act that kills a child born alive, described under subsection A, shall be punished for intentionally killing or attempting to kill a human being. This article says, good grief. Who could object to that? At least six of the wannabe presidents. This article was written about 3 months ago, and so it lists the six wannabe presidents: Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Christine Gillibrand, Amy Klobuchar, Cory Booker, and Elizabeth Warren. And that's stunning, this writer says in this particular article. Ladies and gentlemen, all of our wannabe presidents today running are for abortion. And if the abortion, if the child that's attempted to be aborted survives, they are for infanticide, putting that child to death, just letting that baby die rather than taking care of the child that's born alive. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious that we live in a society today of so-called modern enlightened society where we will allow murder by way of abortion, where we have allowed 61 million murders to take place, and yet the cry and the bellyaching and the screaming with the hair on fire by the socialist Marxist Democrats on what supposedly took place, that supposedly people died in the Ukraine as a result of President Trump's delaying for 29 days, $400 million that was determined to be given to them. Ladies and gentlemen, life is valuable. And life is valuable because we're created in the image of God. And the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139 and verse 14. We're all created in God's image, and therefore it makes life valuable both in the womb and out of the womb, both young and old. Lives are valuable today. And yet we have the socialist Marxist Democrats with their willingness to write and underwrite any bill, any law, any legislation that would allow Planned Parenthood to continue to be funded. And Planned Parenthood is simply a murder machine. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in case you are wondering why Planned Parenthood is so interested in carrying on the abortion industry, the abortuaries, the murder centers around the nation, is simply because they are marketing body parts by the hundreds of millions of dollars. There are cases in the courts now working their way through the courts where undercover video footage was done to validate that they're marketing body parts. And yet the people that did the undercover video footage to validate that, to prove that, are now being sued in federal courts because of their video footage and because of their showing the truth of what's taking place with Planned Parenthood. In fact, we'll talk more about that at a later time. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the value of life. Your life is valuable. My life is valuable. The baby in the womb's life is valuable. That elderly person that cannot defend themselves because of their aged condition, that value, that life is still valuable. Just a few days ago, ladies and gentlemen, there was over 250,000 people. They say that it was at least that number. You notice the silence on the fake media. The March for Life in Washington has not been covered by the fake media. In fact, I find it egregious that even on Fox News, it was just a little blip on the radar screen as far as the coverage. They did not cover it, did not show aerial views of the massive numbers of people. I think they might have gotten a total of airtime in a 48-hour period of time, maybe of 6 to 8 minutes. I don't know, if not calculated it. But it's very, very minuscule in the coverage. But about 250,000 people in the annual March for Life in D.C., and President Trump, the first president of the United States of America, the first seated president in the United States of America, attended, supported, and spoke at the March for Life gathering in Washington, D.C. Here's an article that gives a little brief snippet of President Trump's speech at that March for Life. It's published by American Family Association. President Trump said, and I quote, "Above all, we know that every human soul is divine, and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God." That was spoken on January the 24th of 2020 by President Donald J. Trump. And newsletter on the American Family Association further says, President Trump has followed through on his campaign promises to be a pro-life president and make protecting the lives of the innocent unborn babies a top priority. Because of this commitment, President Trump and his administration have been vilified by the liberal news media, liberal politicians, and the Hollywood elite. Please continue to pray for President Trump, for Vice President Pence, and pray that we will see the end of abortion in America one day soon. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article. It's by Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council, or Action. And it says this. Since President Trump took office in 2017, his administration has taken significant steps to protect the unborn. In President Trump's first week in office, he reiterated and expanded the Mexico City policy, which prohibits taxpayer funding of non-governmental organizations that perform abortions in the countries. In 2018, the Department of Health and Human Services introduced a new regulation that prohibits recipients of Title X family planning funding from providing or referring patients for abortion. As a result of these new rules, Planned Parenthood voluntarily withdrew from the Title X, effectively defunding itself of $60 million of annual revenue. President Trump has also appointed over 180 pro-life judges, including two Supreme Court justices. Ladies and gentlemen, if he had done nothing else, if President Donald J. Trump has done nothing else, it validates and warrants every Christian, everyone that believes in the right to life, everyone that believes that life is valuable, everyone that believes that we're fearfully and wonderfully created in the image of God. If you believe that, we need to take a stand for Donald J. Trump. We need to pray that God will vindicate him in this false, phony charade that's called the impeachment proceedings that's taking place in Washington now. We need to understand that he has taken a stand for our right to keep and bear arms. He's taken a stand for our First Amendment rights, our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, as no other president in my lifetime has taken. So we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the serious danger that is looming over America as we watch this impeachment process take place. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump spoke at the March for Life. Ladies and gentlemen, also, I want us to understand he is the most pro-life, pro-Christian, pro-religious liberty president in our lifetime. Yet we find these socialist, Marxist, Democrats who are trying their best to undermine, tear down, and destroy. Why is that so? Because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the entire parade of the socialist Marxist Democrats are doing everything that's antithetical to, contrary to, and totally in opposition of the right to life, the value of life, and the recognition of life in the mother's womb. There's an attempt to destroy human beings. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the value of life. And there are a lot of those today that, as a result of their stand for the right to life, that are having their jobs put aside, that they're losing their jobs, losing their positions, are being put out of the medical profession. Doctors and nurses and medical care support technicians are being put in a position today that their job is in danger if they stand for life. Don't know if you're aware of it or not. Here's an article that says, this pediatric nurse lost her job because of her pro-life beliefs. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I want us to understand, there is a push in America today that's against life, that is a pro-death society in which we're living in. Most of these, ladies and gentlemen, are coming out of those that are in the abortion clinics and the murder by way of abortion. And also, it is the euthanasia that's taking place with our seniors as they go into the hospitals and in the retirement centers. And many times, ladies and gentlemen, in and through the palliative care and the hospice centers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the news as we continue to talk about the value of life.
We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.